As COVID-19 cases surged in the United States in March 2020, stay-at-home orders were put in place. Schools closed, and many workers were furloughed, laid off, or told to work from home. With personal movement limited and people confined to their homes, advocates expressed concern about potential increase in intimate partner violence.
I'm Kevin Munoz.
I'm Amber Heddock.
This is the Leo Podcast.
Today is Monday, October 12th. So, Amber, you brought to my attention that October is National Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and I should do a segment on it, to which I said, let's just do a whole episode on it. And then I proceeded to ask you to be on it. What was your reaction to this? Like, did you know that you were going to be participating in this?
No, but then I figured, of course, I said something about it, so now I can't turn the opportunity down to say no.
So a couple of things that we're going to be going over in this podcast is going to be why National Domestic Violence Awareness Month is important, signs that you're experiencing abuse, and addressing the spike in domestic violence amid coronavirus for Latinas and all women.
Recommendations and suggestions and facts.
All right, so let's just get into it. Like, why is National Domestic Violence Awareness Month important? First, it inspires change. So National Domestic Violence Awareness Month, it encourages those that are abusive, that are in abusive relationships to get help. And the month isn't just about learning, but it's also about doing. And also, number two, victims need our support. Millions of Americans are domestic violence victims, so they need our support to move beyond the abuse. And
it's about the fact.
And the month aims to educate Americans about what is considered domestic violence. It also reinforces a zero tolerance policy when it comes to abuse. Domestic violence doesn't always manifest as physical abuse, but it's emotional and psychological as well. So it can often be just as extreme as physical abuse. And also, the lack of physical abuse doesn't mean that the abuser is any less dangerous to the victim, or doesn't mean that the victim is any less trapped by the abuser.
So, right, and that also goes for, like, women with kids.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
The kids are getting abused, the women are more likely to stay because they're trying to protect the kids.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. And I feel like that's one of the, like, saddest things just researching about this whole thing is how many of the times, like, kids are involved, you know? And it was surprising, but, like, I kind of figured if they have kids, like, they'll use the kids as a way to, like, entrap them, right? And
oh, most definitely.
Yeah.
Over their head.
Right, right. And that's just so wrong. Like, you shouldn't, I think one of the, reasons, like, to motivate someone to get out of, like, a toxic relationship like this is just to get the kids out of that kind of environment. Like, it's just, that's one of the saddest parts. Cause then they become, they feel like that's the normal, right? And, like,
Also feel though, yeah, I also just feel like when the kids are involved, it's a lot harder for people to get out because most of the time, whoever is getting abused is not the one working or controlling the money. So, like, how do you leave with kids who you know you have to feed?
Yeah.
And you don't have any income.
That's true. That's true. You could, which actually leads us to the, like, what are some signs that you're experiencing abuse?
So, signs you're experiencing abuse. Your partner threatens or tries to control you. That's going to be with money, with where you go, how you look, who you talk mm-hmm. to, anything like that. Making you feel inadequate, telling you, of course, what to wear, how to look. The second bullet point, your partner controls your money, keeping cash or cards away from you, discouraging you from working. Or just popping up at your workplace, so it makes it really uncomfortable for you to even be there.
Yeah, that's true.
Start losing jobs
because yeah, that's another thing. It's like once they start showing up to your workplace, it's just you know, now you got the people like your coworkers and other people involved, and now you're at risk of losing your job, or maybe you just want to quit as well. Like,
yeah. Also, it's like most people like. You know, well, in this situation, they probably go to work to get away from the house life that they're living. Mm-hmm. Where in, like, normal situations, people are like, I'd rather be at home with my family.
That's true, yeah.
So, for them to even get that taken away from them, it's like, where do you turn to after that?
That's true, yeah. Once the stalking starts to happen, that's when, like, it is spiraling out of control as well.
Yeah. So number three, your partner isolates you, cutting you off from family or friends, making you even more dependent on your partner. Could be signs of abuse. This could also mean, like, even if you want to go hang out with your family or friends, they could come too. Mm-hmm. And, like, that also makes it really awkward and really tense.
Yep.
Because, to be honest, your family and friends already, most likely already know what's going on. So then for him just to come with you is just, like, not a good situation.
That's a good point. I like, before even reading about all this stuff, I didn't even think about, like, if someone's, like, if your significant other, I mean, it's not always like that, but, like, if they're always there, like, where you're going, I mean, that's kind of a sign that, right? That.
Yeah, or, like, you're always on your phone, like, they won't ever hang up the phone with you, like.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you never true. Have, like, that separation to either, to even, like, breathe for a second.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
So, I don't know if that goes for all abusive relationships, but I think a lot of them.
Yep.
Will be that way.
Yeah, I agree.
And then number four is your partner physically abuses you, which is the most serious of it.
Yep. And again, it's not always physical, but that is the serious. Like, you know, mental and emotional can also just be as serious. But it's not always as, what's the word I'm looking for here?
Evident. Detrimental, yeah. I feel like it's not that word. Yeah, it's not mental and mentally you can get over a lot of things, but yeah. Physically if it's bad enough, some can't even go out in public.
Yeah, and again, if like they start isolating themselves from friends and family, one of the reasons could also be this, because they don't want to show like the bruises or any marks as well.
Right, you don't want to be showing up someplace with sunglasses on the whole time. If there's anyone in a situation like that, the most stressful and dangerous part is leaving. Because that means that person no longer has control over you. So I know I listened to a couple podcasts that said, and like I would completely agree with them, that if you are going to leave, like try to put yourself in a place that limited people know where you are.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, like, I've read or listened to two stories, two different women. This one was getting abused for, like, over 6 years, and she left. But for 6 years, it continued, even though she moved. So,
yep, like, stalking,
yeah, you basically have to go, like, underground for some time until that person decides to move on and to basically find their next victim.
I mean, it's crazy what extents they have to go to, and even after like years, they can just pop up again when you think that you might have gotten away, right?
Yeah,
it's like that stories that you told me about, like the with the restraining order.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. And then I also, side note, I read another one, and this took place over, I think, in Germany, and some lady like found a safe haven. And they, like, took her in, and the safe haven was like, okay, you can leave after, like, I think it was, like, 3 years, because we found out that your ex-boyfriend no longer lives in the town. Well, here, she walked out, and, like, a couple days later, she saw him, and he, like, tried to get back to her, so she, like, tried to commit suicide.
Oh, my gosh. So he was just waiting for her to, like, get out? Like...
Yeah, I guess it was, like, a small community that they lived in, and, like, the safe haven, I guess, said, like, we heard that he no longer lives in this community. Well, they were wrong, and she came out.
They probably didn't even check. Like, they were probably just, like, yeah, like you said, like, they heard that he didn't even live there. They probably didn't even confirm it.
Right, they were probably, like, 3 years. It's been 3 years.
Yeah.
so, basically, you're safe, but, like, it's, like, what is, like, the turning point of these people to where... they just want to re-victimize or, like, have that control over anyone.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Like, put the fear in someone.
Yeah, and that's part of it, too. Like, they want to have control, like...
Yeah, so my thing is, like, just go underground for some time being until, unfortunately, they find someone else to do it to. Which is a horrible thing to say, because if that's their mentality, that's their, you know, that's what they're going to do. But at least it's not going to be you. And hopefully the next person will be strong enough to stand up to them, but I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. And it sucks too. Like, it's like you're the one that has to go into like hiding, and you're the one to just do all this stuff. Like, it's not just as simple as like you making a call, and like maybe that'll work for a little bit, but then it just starts happening again. So you do have to take action.
And then also, if you have kids, like, you have to keep your kids safe. And then if you have family that lives in the area, like, who's to say, like, he won't try to go after your family to get to you? And there's just, like, a lot of other pieces that you have to think of because of something that you didn't want to happen. Like, you're trying to get out of a horrible situation. And in return, you have to deal with all these other people around you.
Yep.
Because of what the situation was at your house.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And I mean, we only say he because the majority is, that are getting abused are women by men. And like, obviously men experience it as well, but not as high as, women do.
Yeah, I think it's the tipping scale is more towards women.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then, to be more like more on the recent side, we could talk about how the effects that COVID-19 has had on domestic violence, you know, like people being isolated, and having to be in their homes, maybe with their abuser, is not really ideal.
Yeah, exactly. And especially with COVID-19, the alcohol, drug abuse, people losing their jobs. So money's tight. That in normal marriages or relationships, money being tight causes stress. So now you put someone in a violent relationship and add any of the above, alcohol, drugs, money, it's just going to be really bad for them.
Yeah, definitely. Like, it's further, you know, like I have out here that physical, violent tendencies are enabled and further inflamed by, like, the economic stressors, like you were saying, like coronavirus, you know? If they're tight for money and they're under that stress, then they might take it out on someone.
I was going to say also, with kids being home now, like for virtual learning and stuff like that, like that's another thing that just might tip that, like, you know, maybe the abuse happens to a lot more than just the women because the kids have no outlet like school now.
Yeah, that's true.
Where the teachers are seeing it, where their guidance counselors are seeing it. Like now, I think you just have to do, depending on your state or school district, you just have to like have one Zoom class where you have to have your camera on. The rest you don't have to have your camera on.
Yeah
So who's to say what you really look like the other 4 days of the week?
Yep, that's I didn't even think about that, but that's a very good point. A report here by NBC says that families that are locked down, in order to slow down COVID-19, the police says that domestic violence cases have risen up to 35% in the recent days. Like, when I saw that percentage, I was like, that's insane. I mean, it makes sense, but, like, it's such a high number. Like, 35% is crazy. And, yeah.
And then the number of the national domestic calls to the hotline just in April alone went up 15%. So that was at the start of coronavirus when we got shut down.
Yep.
I don't know what it is now, but I would imagine that it went up because people just like us, we thought we were going to go back to work in 2 weeks.
Yep. Yeah.
And we've been out of work since mid-March. So maybe other people had that same mindset and that just didn't happen for a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. They also need to think about like long-term solutions to reduce disparities in the income and the wealth accumulations, which like we said, like the economy, the stressors, like for people might be a big factor because of the money. And right now they're being overwhelmed and some are even being like cut and it's just exacerbating. And I just want to point out, it's like particularly among, Latinas because they usually settle for like lower end, jobs, like more skilled, like low paying, semi-skilled occupations in the overall workforce. And that therefore leads to like limited financial resources, which create substantial barriers for women trying to leave the abuser or obtain like legal assistance, housing, and like we said, like childcare as well.
Yeah, childcare. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
Childcare is not cheap. And also, like, if you were to leave, you would have to find a place that's willing to take your children in, too.
Yeah, that's very true. It's just more complicated when you have children. But, like, again, it should be one of the motivations to seek help.
Yeah, it's like a, I don't know, like, you want to do it for the kids, but at the same time, it's like anything, just with normal people, when you take a step from a career change, a big career change or this, it's like you're always hesitant to do it because you never know how it's going to end.
Mm-hmm.
And most people don't take that step because they don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's instead true. Of knowing, like, instead of taking the step and maybe being wrong and the career not being for you, you just stay where you're at and it really doesn't make you happy. So I mm-hmm. guess that's just like this situation is like, do we take the step and have nothing in our pockets and but we're not getting abused anymore, or do I at least make sure we have a roof over our head and my kids are eating?
Yeah, that's true. And it sucks because it's already like we said, it's already like programs are being cut already and it's so underfunded, and that like even now it's worse because of COVID. So getting that financial like help of it and with your kids, like you gotta make some sacrifices, but you gotta realize it's like better like long term. I mentioned Latinas, and I wanted to point out, just because it's, I feel like I see it more in the Hispanic community, maybe just, obviously because I grew up in it, and then what mm-hmm. I found out from doing like this research, I thought was really interesting. It was like the term like Marianismo, which mm-hmm. it's like it's rooted in Christianity, like essentially. And it stems from the Virgin Mary. And I thought, while I was reading this, because there's a point to this.
Okay.
So what Marianismo is basically, the girls aren't offered many alternatives, as role models, because our mothers are always saying like La Virgen Cita, which is like the Virgin Mary. And that's their sole role model. Like that's how they should behave, like do everything like, you know, your husband says and everything. Which having her like as a role model, there's nothing wrong with, but mm-hmm. like there is something wrong with the notion, that prevents girls from knowing that they can be and do other things as well. And yeah. You know?
Yeah, I'm all for it, Kev, because you tell me that and I'm like, you can have that, but you have to stand up for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And you
like
know,
as a woman, stand up to whoever you feel like. This is 2020.
That's right. No, it's
everyone
true.
Out here has a say nowadays.
That's right. Everyone has a say, and especially if you're living in the United States, you know, like just don't be afraid to just speak up.
Yeah, and maybe like just speaking up stops some of the mental abuse or physical abuse.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Even if you just, like, say something to whoever's doing it to you, or mm-hmm. say something to, I don't know, your husky brother or your uncle or someone that you know, if they come around more often, it'll at least stop a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
Instead of just hiding it.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. No, I agree. But I also wanted to just throw out, a message there for all the Latino Hispanic mothers, that, you know, because they suffer in silence, and I've seen this a lot, whether it's like my friends or just growing up in within the community, you know, mm-hmm. like it's okay to have a career outside the home and parent, or work from home, or not work but still have outside interests like other than your children. It's okay to hire help from time to time to care for your children. I've seen like parents and my mom included, like they're very hesitant to like hire help because, you know, it's like they're my kids, like I'm responsible for them, but like it is okay to like seek help, like, you know, child care services and such. It is okay because you need time as well for yourself. And it's okay to expect your partners to do their fair share of the housework too, you know, like mothers shouldn't just bear that burden all to themselves.
I agree with you that I don't know what error that is for like the white women community, I guess you would say, mm-hmm. but that's how I mean, my parents didn't do that, but I'm guessing their parents did, maybe. But that is
that's
not
true.
How
that's
it is
another
nowadays.
Thing. Yeah, like an older generation as well. You know, it might be harder for them to realize that they're even in like an abusive relationship too, because they just feel like that's just the way it is, right? Like, which is not right.
Like, you take care of the kids, clean, cook, just make sure dinner's ready by 5, and I go work, and it's just like,
right, yeah.
No, we don't do that anymore.
Yeah, that's right. It's 2020. We don't do that anymore.
Yeah, we don't do that anymore.
All right, let's get into the facts. So, 479 gun-related domestic violence fatalities this year, and that one surprised me, because as I mentioned to you before, when we were doing like some research on this, that when guns are involved, I think it almost always ends in like a homicide, right? Like the majority of the times.
Yeah.
And so that one surprised me a lot. And then the other ones, the presence of a gun, and here's what we're talking about. Yeah, the presence of a gun in a domestic violence situation increases the risk of homicide by 500%. 500%.
Yeah, so it's like guaranteed to happen.
Yeah, that's insane. All right. 10 million people a year are physically abused by an intimate partner. 10 million people.
That's
like, this is crazy. Insane. Like, just going over these. Like, it just baffles me. And I've read this like a bunch of times already, and it still baffles me.
I know.
Yeah. And then 20,000 calls are placed a day to domestic violence hotlines, which, as you mentioned, have increased by like, what, 15%? Recently,
since April,
yeah.
So that number's probably up there.
Yeah, definitely. And then 1 in 4 women and 1 in 9 men experience severe intimate partner physical violence. On average, nearly 20 people per minute are physically abused by an intimate partner in the United States. So during 1 year, this equates to more than 10 million women and men.
Yeah, a minute. That statistic alone is just
right.
That's crazy. Oh, that's crazy. That means, like, do we know someone that it's happening
yeah,
to?
Yeah, definitely. That's why I said, I'm like, we probably know someone, but, like, because it's not always, like, obvious, we might not know ourselves.
Right. And then they say 1 in 7 women and 1 in 18 men have been stalked by an intimate partner during their lifetime, to the point where they felt feared or believed that they or someone close to them would be harmed or killed.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that's also like turning up at your job and your family's house and all that fun stuff.
Yep, that's right.
72% of all murder suicides involve an intimate partner. 94% of the victims of these murder suicides are females. Mm-hmm. I think the start of the pandemic, there was a lot of these that I've seen on the news.
The murder suicides?
The murder suicides, yeah.
Wow, yeah.
And that's probably because people had no idea what to do with themselves in lockdown. Mm-hmm. 1 in 15 children are exposed to intimate partner violence each year, and 90% of these children are eyewitnesses to this violence.
Yep. 1 in 15 children is a wow.
Yeah, is a lot. And like I said, with them not going to school, they have no outlet and no one to be able to call to get that family help now.
Yep.
So then between 21% and 60% of the victims of intimate partner violence lose their jobs due to reasons stemming from the abuse.
Yeah, like you mentioned, they show up at your job and then that just kind of escalates things.
Yeah, or if you're just, like, really too embarrassed to go to your job because of the way one day. Or whatever the reason may be. Some recommendations. The National Domestic Violence Hotline suggests practicing self-care, reaching out for help. Even if it's a stranger, you should get help. Because more than not, people are willing to help you if you're in a horrible situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and creating a safety plan. A safety plan is a personalized plan. It has ways to remain safe while in a relationship, planning to leave or after you leave. Even this means like collecting change randomly mm-hmm. and hiding it until you have enough to maybe get yourself one night in a hotel room.
That's true, yeah.
Get yourself somewhere, maybe to the next state over, something. Just do something. Hide food.
Yeah, honestly.
Hide anything until you have a stash to where you can just go and you know you're okay for a couple of days.
Yep. And then I saw also that they recommended that even like if you're living at with them and you need to leave, like even if you have to, if you have a car, like even if you have to sleep in your car, like you're still better off, right?
Right. I would just say like drive somewhere, not
yeah, absolutely
down.
Right.
Yeah,
we don't want to be like parked outside, like
the random pharmacy down the street that everyone right. knows you at.
Yeah.
Like go to like maybe the next city over or two cities over, but just tell someone where you are so they don't report you missing at least.
Yep.
Because in the situation that you're in, it's very easy to think that you're also missing at any point.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So, yeah.
And then the UN itself has also issued some domestic violence reduction recommendations. Kind of just like what should be done to make this more like awareness out there. So increase investments in online services and civil society organizations. Make sure that the judicial systems continue to prosecute abusers. That's very important. And set up emergency warning systems in pharmacies and groceries. I think that's a very good one. Like, they really should have, like, emergency warning systems. Like you said, you can make an excuse to just go to, like, I'm going to go buy something at the grocery store. And then,
right.
even as simple as that, like...
Right, or just say, like, I have to go ask someone at customer service where something is, or if I should be taking this, or something.
Right. I think that'd be great. Like, I think they should just implement that right now. Like, you know,
yeah.
like, that just check that off, because you go into CVS, and all you got to do is just, you know what I'm saying, like, just press something, and I think
right.
that would be great. Also, they have declare shelters as essential services. Create safe ways for women to seek support without alerting their abusers, which goes back to like we were saying, like emergency warning systems. Avoid releasing prisoners convicted of violence against women in any form, which reminds me of that, what you were talking about with the whole podcast that you heard, you know, because they released them, right? After a couple
yeah,
of years.
5 days.
Oh,
no,
okay.
No, it was 5 days.
It was 5 days.
Yeah,
they only had him in there for five days,
which is even
I thought it was
crazy.
Like they had him in there for like 2 years or something.
No, it was like 5 days, and he got a year of probation. But
oh
that's
my
like
God.
The other thing why women don't go to the police, because the police like handle these like it's a kid stealing change out of a car. Like they
right.
just don't care really.
Right.
And it's just like as many no contact orders as you have against someone, it's like what it really depends on where you live, how high it is on their list of priorities, like if they actually
mm-hmm.
take care of it or not. Like if you're in a city where a lot of crime is happening, the chances of you getting heard and getting that person arrested for violating a protective order is very slim.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
say you take like Langhorne, like where we live.
Mm-hmm.
They would be like right there to arrest that guy because they have nothing else to do. I'm sorry to say it that way, but that's true. Like you have
yeah.
people being murdered or cops sitting around.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Like, it really depends on where you live too.
Which is actually kind of messed up too, because like where if you live in a not so like high end neighborhood, where it's needed the most. It's probably the most likely to get like brushed off, right? Because they probably like get so many calls and they're just like, all right, well, like,
right, like they like they're like, okay, well, it's you again. It's
yeah,
like, yeah, it's me again.
Or maybe they want to help, but like they just don't have enough people on for it, like enough funding. Which also leads to, like the last thing here, like this another recommendation is scaling up public awareness campaigns and you know, even those that target, like, men as well.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I would agree with that, too.
Yep.
Like, anything is better than nothing at this point. Cause,
yeah, absolutely.
I mean, if we're going to continue to be in lockdown, are people still out of jobs and everything like that, like, the numbers are only going to continue to increase.
Yep, agreed.
Or they're going to decrease because people are just going to get sick of reporting it. Women are going to get sick of reporting it because nothing's being done.
Because nothing's being done. Yeah, true.
Right. So, like, how many times do you say something until it's like, okay, well, I'm just stuck in this situation now because no one will help me?
Yeah, no, I agree. Yep.
If you or someone you know needs help, call the National Domestic Violence Hotline for free, English and Spanish, 1-800-799-7233 or 1-800-787-3224. If you are in danger, call 911.
And if you're being abused by your partner, know there is nothing you have done or are doing to cause the abuse. It is solely the choice of the abuser to abuse. It may seem impossible to escape your abuser, change your circumstances, or find the help you need, but it is possible. However, you know your abuser best, so think carefully through your situation and circumstances and do what is best for you.
I agree with that, because they do know their abuser better than anyone else will.
Yeah, at the end of the day, we could give you a bunch of recommendations, but you know your abuser best, and again, you should initiate a plan to get out, you know?
Yeah, like they know what makes them tick or go off, so play the mind game and get yourself out of that situation.
Thank you for being on here.
No problem, I'll talk to you.
Once again, if you or someone you know needs help, call the National Domestic Violence Hotline for free, English and Spanish. The number is 1-800-799-7233 or 1-800-787-3224. If you are in immediate danger, call 911. I will also have links to additional resources through my blog post on my website for today's episode. If you want to support me and the podcast, just follow my Instagram at LatinAmericaneo. And if you have any questions or want to know more in detail about what was covered in a podcast, you can find more info on my website, latinamericaneo.org. That's LatinAmericaneo.org. I'm Kevin Munoz, and I'll see you next time.